Hello, and welcome back to Achieving Equality, a podcast talking about all things to do with equality. The aims of this week's podcast is to look at a tool that can be used in practice to overcome inequalities. We'll be joined by a member of the Women's Equality Party talking to us about a new principle they have just adopted, donor economics. To help us understand this, we were joined by Felix, an expert in donor economics. To start, how about telling us a bit about what donor economics is?
Donor economics is a visual framework for sustainable development based around the idea of meeting the basic needs of all people without exerting too much pressure on Earth's life-supporting systems. The framework was developed by economist Kate Raworth in the paper, A Safe and Just Space for Humanity, and has been developed in the book Donut Economics, 7 Ways to Think Like a 21st Century Economist. Presented in the shape of a donut, the inner ring of the donut sets out 12 minimum social standards we need to live a good life, based on the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals. It includes factors such as food, water, and education. The outer ring is based on ideas about planetary boundaries, originally derived from Rockstrom's paper, Planetary Boundaries, Exploring the Safe Operating Space for Humans. The outer boundary is an ecological ceiling which humanity should not cross in order to avoid irreversible damage to the natural environment. Earth system scientists have identified around 9 indicators, depending on which exact model you look at, where each dimension is a process that helps to regulate Earth's ability to maintain the conditions humanity needs to live, known as Holocene conditions. Indicators include climate change, chemical pollution, and biodiversity. Beyond these limits are tipping points where change would be extremely difficult to remedy, if not irreversible. Between the two rings is what we are aiming for, where everyone's needs are met while the planet is not being harmed.
Thank you for that explanation. Do you have any questions from our listeners?
Hi, I have a few questions. Firstly, I would like to know what is new about this model and how could I apply it to my everyday life?
This model is one of the first to actually set a physical boundary for our limitations. Not only that, but it recognizes that there is a lack of knowledge and unknown certainty around the impacts of our actions, which is why it has a buffer zone. In relation to everyday life, it is about living within your needs and not overconsuming. The Guardian estimates that in 2020, 1 in 8 people in the UK go hungry every day, yet an average family wastes £700 worth of food every year. This is a great place to start making changes to your everyday behavior in line with the model. On top of its scientific basis and how it allows for the building of a more sustainable society, it can be argued to be inherently a more equal way to measure the prosperity of societies. The inner ring could be considered to offer a more moral and just way to use resources by trimming off humanity's greed at the top, which is partly culpable for exceeding the boundaries to support all of humanity's basic needs instead.
Thank you for that, Felix. I can definitely start by reducing my waste. My next question is about who defines these limits. Surely these limits are subject to bias through people's personal values and beliefs.
You make a very valid point. Although everyone is working from the same initial model, it is scaled differently. However, you are only considering the negative implications of interactions. All of the factors are closely connected. For example, when air pollution is reduced, it also has a positive impact on human health. Public Health England estimates that between 28,000 to 36,000 deaths each year can be attributed to human-made air pollution. This way, the countries in the former category can maintain or improve on their society indicators while reining in their excess of planetary boundaries. Perhaps there is no one objective golden standard for the boundaries and indicators, but the model's philosophy can always be a guiding light.
Thanks again for that, Felix. I just have one final question for now. Foxy and Heinrich, 2020, argue that the outer crust of the donut, so planetary boundaries, has been punctured, with three of the boundaries, including nitrogen and phosphorus cycles, biodiversity loss, and climate change, already being crossed. So where do we go from here?
By applying this model throughout all realms of society, we can work together to prevent crossing more. We have the opportunity to mold the donut to each scale. There are a number of actions we can take to make sure we don't cross more boundaries, including introducing policy incentives. Within the intricately interwoven ecosystem of the planet, the status of any boundaries as influenced by the actions of any one part of the world would have far-reaching consequences across the globe. Nevertheless, the impacts may be felt disproportionately on different parts of the world, and the crossing of a boundary is not a binary situation. Additionally, with, for example, climate change, perhaps the greatest challenge among them, the variation of effects caused by 1.5 or 2 degrees of warming is frequently discussed. However, as IPCC made clear in their Global Warming of 1.5 degrees special report, every bit of warming and every choice we make matters in mitigating some level of the adverse impact. Crossing a boundary is not unsalvageable, and if any boundaries are crossed, it is not the end result but the loudest call to action. The urgency of applying this model should be stressed, which the Women's Equality Party have now started to do.
Speaking of, let's talk to Hattie, a member of the Women's Equality Party. Hattie, can you briefly tell us a bit about the party?
Thanks for having me on the podcast. The party was set up in 2015 by Catherine Mayer and Sandy Tavotsky at the Women of the World Festival. As stated on our website, we believe that equality for women isn't a women's issue. When women fulfil their potential, everyone benefits. Equality means better politics, a more vibrant economy, a workforce that draws on the talent of the whole population, and a society at ease with itself.
So am I right in thinking that the Women's Equality Party has just incorporated donor economics?
Yes, on the 15th to the 18th of October, we held a conference, Reimagining the UK Economic and Political System, where we proposed the adoption of Kate Raworth's donut economics. It challenges the capitalist ideas around economic growth and incorporates ecological and social growth. Based on Sires and Trebek 2015 UK donor report, three amendments were formed. Number one, stopped using GDP as the primary measure of economic success or progress, instead measuring the well-being of citizens and the environment. The second one was using the donut model of economics to assess every budget and initiative at all levels of the UK government, from Westminster through to parish councils. And the third one was respect and encourage engagement in local and national politics by convening citizens' assemblies to scrutinise spending decisions and major policy strategies. When I spoke to Katrina Brown, a Women's Equality member, about donut economics, she believed that donut economics is one of the most accessible and one of the first approaches to be thought through in its applications. The donut economics model framework is very attractive for thinking through a bunch of challenges for sustainability.
That sounds like a great initiative. So how many people in your party supported this amendment?
It was actually backed by 99% of members, which is an astonishing percentage. We hope to see other political parties join so that we can work together to create a caring economy where all can thrive.
Wow, very popular then. So how is this going to work in practice?
Obviously, you understand this is a very new and so everything isn't quite finalised yet. However, I think it's first important for the Women's Equality Party to think about what our donut should look like. Gender equality features as one of the social parameters, but we need to think about if we want to change any of the social components. The party needs to go through all their policies and see if it fits in with the donut model. This means going through education policies and health policies and see if these different sectors of society and the economy will translate onto the donut. Women's equality is still at the heart of this party, but find that donut economics is a perfect way to translate this into policy. We believe that equality leads to better well-being and better for the environment. The donut economics model, therefore, is an important model as it is a practical way of translating our ideologies into reality.
As a rather recent and novel concept, the donut economics model so far has relatively limited mainstream recognition. However, with that said, it is gaining popularity. The donut economics model can be used to plot where the organization's current position is in terms of how they are doing in respect to planetary boundaries and social indicators. For example, Amsterdam is making an attempt to quantify elements of their donuts and have set numerical targets. Will the Women's Equality Party do this?
I think the Women's Equality Party is using the donut economics model as more of a framework or way of thinking as opposed to a technocratic model. It can be challenging plotting where you are against all these indicators, and I think whilst important, it can be easy to get bogged down by this. Instead, we want to use it more as a conceptual idea to translate into policy.
Now, you mentioned that you've stopped using GDP as a primary measure of economic success or progress, and are instead measuring the well-being of citizens and the environment. Why is this, and how does it tie in with the donut economic model?
Yes, that is a key part of our initiative. We have decided to stop using GDP as the primary measure because it simply isn't the best measure of progress and does not accurately reflect success of the population. GDP has failed to eliminate inequality and in most cases has widened the gap. World Finance 2019 discusses that GDP actually fails to capture much of the value within the modern world. For the listeners who may not know, economic growth, and by proxy well-being, is currently measured by gross domestic product. It's a framework the government builds endless policies and is a way to track the production of all goods and services. GDP was developed in the manufacturing age and doesn't determine between good and bad production. It just sees bigger as better. More recently, people are beginning to question the sustainability of this concept. For example, New Zealand Prime Minister Jacinda revealed she would create the world's first well-being budget to prioritise health and welfare of her country, which is becoming an ever-important reflection of a country. This ties in with the donut economic model and Kate Raworth's call to change the goal from GDP to the donut. She refers to GDP as a single narrow metric, which tells us very little about a country and isn't something we should be aspiring to, which I personally agree with. Donut economics recognises that our economy isn't a closed market, but rather a circular one to focus on reusability.
Well, thank you for taking us through that. Are you hoping this economic model will eventually get scaled up to a city or even country-wide scale then?
Yes, well, although the donut economic model has recently come about, the ideas it is based upon has been around for a lot longer. Originally, it was looking at a global scale due to understanding and recognising the interconnectedness of the social and environmental indicators. However, I do believe it can be successfully scaled down. For instance, Cornwall has recently released their donut, which looks promising. But for the other extreme, Amsterdam has also produced theirs. In terms of our political party, we are currently just applying our policies to it, but hopefully it can evolve into other organisations, parties and governance in the future. So yes, I do think it can be successfully scaled up and down.
Yes, there is nothing wrong with hoping that. I think we have a question from the audience.
Hi again, I would be interested to know how you're going to try and achieve equality without negatively impacting the environment. In a study done by O'Neill et al. In 2018, planetary boundaries were downscaled for over 150 nations. It was discovered that one of the social indicators associated with the highest resource use included equality, which linearly increases with resource use.
Thanks for highlighting that, Chloe. It is an important issue, but I think we can't afford to not achieve equality sustainability-wise. The UN mentions that women play a vital role in achieving sustainable development, especially highlighted in Sustainable Development Goal number 5. I feel like they are connected since this is what the donut model is based upon, but doesn't necessarily mean in a negative way. I think that by achieving equality will help bring about a more positive attitude with helping the environment. My colleague Tom will also introduce alternative ways we can achieve equality without harming the environment. Over to you, Tom.
Equality is not only about bringing people out of harm, but it's also about redistributing some of the wealth, some of the income, some of the assets, some of the resources that those in the top 1% have as well. And you could do that without putting harm on the environment. So when you think of Kate Raworth's donut economics model, where actually you've got this very thin operating space in between not screwing the environment over and not pushing people into serious harm, and actually redistributing some of the resources from the top end might be a way of doing that.
That's a great example. There has indeed been a lot of evidence that redistribution is the way to achieve equality and sustainability. Raworth states that providing the additional calories needed by the 13% of the world population facing hunger requires just 1% of current global food supply.
Isn't it overly idealistic to believe that people will want to redistribute their wealth voluntarily? And surely the government would never get involved with forcing redistribution.
That's a good question. However, I believe this depends on your ideological position. You could say it's reductive to assume that all wealthy people wouldn't want to help the general population. In reality, it could just be a few people that don't want to. Right, I think we have to talk about COVID, considering it's dominating so much of our daily life. Hattie, do you think COVID has increased the inequality gap? And how do you think it will affect the application of the donut model?
I think it has highlighted the urgency of how we are currently not in the safe zone of the donut. COVID has disrupted our current economic systems, and whilst our government is saying we need to build back as before, we have taken this as an opportunity to break from these capitalist ideologies to a better framework to benefit all. Like proposed by Arnold Roll, we need to view this as an opportunity to do things differently. When rebuilding back after COVID, it is the opportunity to use the donut model to help us do that. The movement doesn't necessarily have to be top down, but can be more local organisations across the UK. Bennett, 2020, suggests using this structure can make countries more resilient to future pandemics. It moves away from thinking that production and consumption needs to be cheap and convenient, and towards long-term ecological thinking of the whole product, from extraction of raw materials through to production, transport, repair, reuse and disposal, moving away from this short-term thinking. Gare calls this moving towards an ecological civilization.
Unfortunately, I think that's all we have time for, but thank you for your insights. Just quickly to summarise, donut economics is a model for sustainable development that is based on meeting everyone's basic needs without causing too much stress on Earth's living systems, which are vital for humanity to live. By having a member of the Women's Equality Party on our show today, it has highlighted how donut economics can be translated down to an organisational scale.